out, but that's okay. We're going to be talking about the continuing work of Christ. Last week we finished up talking about him going to the cross and the details about that. Now we're going to look at what happened after the cross during that time that he was resurrected. So anyway, we want to pray for, I just found out that Ernie Tarbox had a stroke last night and he is in the hospital. So we want to pray for him. He's in 305. You know, we just lost Miss Tarbox a week or so ago, and now he's had a stroke and in the hospital. So we need to pray for that family. Again, keep them on our prayers. So anyway, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on this lesson today. The continuing work of Christ. Lord, we thank you for your love, and thank you for what you did on the cross. And we look today that all the things that you prepared and have done and doing for eternity, for us, for the Holy Spirit, all that you gave us that day and that work that you did on that cross for us. Lord, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we just pray for lots of folks who are sick. We have many on our list that have cancer and this and that, and Lord, only you can work a miracle, and we ask for miracles, for healing for folks, and we ask that for Ernie this morning, Ernie Tarbox. Lord, you'd touch him and heal him, and let this stroke not be serious, Lord. Take care of him and his family, help them. They're sure going through a lot right now. Lord, just bless those folks at this time. Lord, we pray for our service today. Pray that you give us an understanding out of this lesson. Give us something that we can take home. Lord, we pray for our pastor as he preaches today the word, that folks will hear and their hearts will change. The word is powerful and it can change our lives. And it can change people to their salvation. Lord, we pray for that, that folks will be saved today, either here or online. Lord, again, we thank you for your love for us and what you did. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So, starting out here, one of the verses that we can look at, we're going to bounce around on some verses today. But unto the Son, this is Hebrews 1:8, it says, but unto the Son he said, thou throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is your scepter in thy kingdom. So we see the events that are taking place now is God is setting up the church age that we live in, that our church is in right now, that the New Testament church had gotten established through the disciples, and it went on and on until where we're at today, some 2,000 years later. And we can look at the post-crucifix events in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All the Gospels has it in it and explains it a little different, but, you know, Matthew was for the Jews, and each one of those Gospels were written to a particular people group, and the language is a little different, but not much. All basically the same, and some of the verses are exactly the same. So we can look at that in a way that it all comes to one big subject, is what the resurrection brought to us, that he did not stay in the grave, that he was resurrected and he did things. And some of the things that we know he did that the Bible talks about is things that we couldn't see. Now, we're gonna talk about this a little bit today. We're going to right now go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. And it says, in verse 9 in Ephesians chapter 4. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. That's plural, because we're talking about the three heavens here, that he might fill all things. So that verse is talking about that he ascended far above the atmosphere of the earth, far above the starry sky, and went into what is called the third heaven, which is heaven that we know that is heaven, where God abodes. So that verse is basically saying that was, this is under the title in that Scofield as ministries and gifts of Christ and his body. But then we can see that he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now that subject there can be, have a lot of discussion. And I think, well, I probably am going to go there start next week, because this is kind of the last lesson in this, the work of Christ, life of Christ. So I started looking, and I use Larkin stuff from time to time, and I have all of Preacher Lashley's notes on Larkin. And if you've got the Rightly Dividing the Word, I think I'm going to start in chapter 26 in Rightly Dividing the Word, if you have that book. And basically, I'm going to go through that lesson there, and we're going to dive down into heaven and hell and what all these verses mean at this time, and the meaning of what Christ did after he arose and the promises that he made during that time. So we'll start that probably next week. Now, he made some promises on the cross right before he died. He promised the thief that he would be in paradise. And that's another thing that we'll talk about with Larkin, is that word paradise, where that was, where it is now. It's a whole study on what is going on in heaven and what hell's about. I looked, you know, and this talks about a lot that he descended and ascended. So he actually went down. It says that. I'm jumping ahead. We can look at Luke 23, verse 43. And let me get back to that. Luke 23:43, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, there's a lot of discussion around that word paradise, and with the help of some studies and what Pastor Lashley has already done years in the past, and some of us in here have heard that, we'll talk a little bit about that paradise situation. And we know from the story of the rich man and Lazarus that it elaborates on that, and we can get into that maybe next week later on, how that all falls under what Christ was doing, was setting things up for us, setting the Holy Spirit in place, setting up that absent from the body, present from with the Lord. We know that is a fact. And we know that it's a fact because the Word says it's the truth. If we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. And that is comforting. We hear that around funeral arrangements and folks that have went on. And then it gives me comfort to know that my parents are there waiting on me, and so forth and so on. We all have loved ones that are there. So, but the fact of that is we have to understand that we have been blessed
So, by the preaching and teaching in this local church, this independent, fundamental church that we are part of here and have been under Pastor Lasley for many, many years, and Jody, and now John, our pastor, John, and the teaching of these facts in God's Word, some people don't understand it. Some people don't believe it. I looked up today, and you can find just about anything on Google. There's a place called the Pew Institute that does studies on what people believe and what they think and what they do, and it's they do all of that. And I looked up, the question was, how many people believe that there is a literal hell? And of course, it groups a bunch of churches together, and you can look it up yourself and see how it groups these things. But the overall average in the United States is that only 58% of the people believe that there is a literal hell. Now, on the other side of that, it also asks how many people believe that there is a real heaven. Well, there's only 70-some percent of the people believe that there is a real heaven. Now, what's that? That speaks volumes to me that there's a generation here that's missing the truth of this book. And we have to understand what we hear here today. We can sit back in our seat and say, well, I've heard that before. Well, one of the things that they teach us in college was to teach and repeat and teach and repeat. And that follows Christ's pattern. Because he would teach things and teach it in one way, then teach it in another way, and keep going on with the same point to where people could understand the truth of it based on the Word. There is a generation or two out there, folks, that has not grounded himself in this book, or don't have the depth of understanding that we sitting here today have. We have been blessed with good teaching and preaching from the Word, and the understanding that the Holy Spirit has given us. Now, some people can say, well, I'm saved, I believe. Well, what do you believe? You start asking those questions. Well, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Well, what do you believe that saves you? Well, you can get some crazy answers. People veer off. More today in the confusion of the world, as time moves on, folks, I think confusion, and the devil is the author of confusion, there's going to be more confusion in the truth of the book. Even getting people to believe that this is the Bible, that this is God's Word. You kind of got to get there first with folks when you start talking to them, and then you pull this book out and open it, and they think, well, that's just another document. That's just another text. That's some stories. And they don't want to give it the credit that it is the truth and it is God's Word. And we've heard Pastor Herdman talk about that here in the recent past. What is the truth? I mean, how do we serve this truth and pass it on? And there is no way we can do it without the Holy Spirit's help and without picking up the book and studying it. Now, I'm not just saying just go read it. We all read it. We read it, try to get through it in a year and do that kind of thing. Try to get through it in a year. That's pitiful. And we'll do devotions or whatever, personal this or that. But just to dive in on some of this stuff, just this verse right here we just read. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. Well, that speaks volumes in many, many ways. That thief was hanging on a cross. There wasn't nothing he could do to earn salvation that day. His life was done. Because the verse 42 says, and he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, again, you look at the words. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, capital L. That thief had most likely heard the truth of his preaching somewhere in his year of ministry in that area of the world and decided that that's the truth. Now, did that keep him from being a thief? No. Did that keep him from being a sinner? No. Because we're all sinners because of we inherited it from Adam. That truth's hard to understand for some folks, because everybody wants to say, well, I'm good. I'm good enough. I can get there on my merit. Well, here's this. What a great example of no works needs to be done to be saved. Praise the Lord. Because I don't deserve it. None of us here deserve it. We've not done anything or can do anything or go to the right church, say the right, do anything. The only thing we can do is trust the one Almighty God and what Christ did on the cross. He is the way, the truth. And folks just don't want to give up their opinion, as Pastor Herman has said. My opinion of what the truth is the truth. Well, you know, we can dive deep into this, but we have to get people to believe first that it is the truth. And there's ways to do that. Let's go on here. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And then this just gets even deeper here when he preached unto the spirits in prison. So 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And we are talking about Holy Spirit being involved here. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which in some times were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing within a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. So we know that whole story there. We've been taught that. So who was he preaching to? Well, we know that there was fallen angels that were involved with earthly ladies and men, that they were locked in chains in hell at that time. And I want to ask, why did he go preach unto those people that were in that prison in hell, those angels, let's say it that way, because that's who we were talking about here, that were in chains in hell at that time. So that means that he was there. He went down there to do that. Of course, there's a whole lot happened. He got the keys to heaven and hell, and sin was once and for all paid for, and all in all, the depth of all that. And we can talk. We're going to get into that slowly in the next couple of weeks and talk about each one of those things and what it means to us. And then in Psalm 16, chapter 16, verse 10, it says, his soul would not be left in hell. 16:10,
And it says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Again, God saying that Christ was not going to be corrupted, that he was going to be raised from the grave, that he's alive and well in heaven, and that our souls are saved if we trust what he did on the cross. There was so much went on that day at his resurrection. The death, burial, and the resurrection, there's so much to talk about in those things that we need to have a real understanding that the world don't know those things in depth. Now, number one, people just need to plead plain old saved first. They need to understand that this is the truth. God died for them, and there's nothing they can do. And you can use the illustration of the thief on the cross. He had no way to pay for his sin. He had no way to go to church, no way to do anything. I just keep hammering that fact. But people don't know it. People don't know the truth of it, the power of it, the power of salvation. Praise the Lord for the power that it has over the devil and his angels and over sin. And we live in a sinful world. This world, it is the earth itself that has been stained with sin, that stands in conflict with heaven. There's a constant conflict, a war, and we know that. And the Bible tells us to get our armor on. And we can't do that without God, without the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And the only way to get that is to trust Christ as your Savior. Those out there listening online today, I hope there's somebody there that knows the truth but has never made that step. You need to step out by faith and say, "I believe you died for my sins, and I trust you to take me to heaven." It's by belief. It's exactly what happened to that thief on the cross. He believed. He said, "Lord." He knew who he was in his heart. He knew who he was in his heart. So how much more can we say about all that? There's a lot more, and I can't go there today. I've got probably 20 pages of Pastor Lasley's notes that are so wonderful, so deep. What studying, what a commentary on rightly dividing the word. And I got some other books that I use too, but anyway, I'm going to use his stuff. We're going to go back to that and start on that next week. We're not getting very far every week, so it's going to take us 3 or 4 weeks to do that, because I want to get to where we have a good working understanding of this, because overall, right now in 2014, when they did the survey, 58% of the people don't believe there is a hell. It's hard to believe that, living in the Bible Belt here. Now, of course, that's an average across the United States, and probably people in this area, it's a little higher than that. But we've got so many people moving into our region. We need to pray as we see our church reaching out to the younger generation. It's a work to be done. It's a work to be done. Now let's look at his resurrection itself. So we looked at things there that we couldn't see. We have some information about it, but we really can't see it, but we can understand it based on what's in here. And we can go a little deep into some commentaries in the King James, what the Scofield says. There's so many references and cross-references. We're going to get into that and get a really good grounded understanding on that over the next few weeks. What's going on in heaven and what went on in hell. Now, his resurrection, it was essential. That if he had not been resurrected, what do we have here?
there's been a lot of these so-called gods that you can see statues in some of these third world countries that are dead. They're statues of something or somebody or some evil-looking thing that is dead. They're not alive. We know from the truth of it that God, Christ, is alive, living in heaven. And he made salvation possible. We can go all through the Bible and look at verses that talks about how salvation was made possible because of what he did on the cross. And because of his resurrection, he overcame the devil. He overcame the devil. He led captivity. He led the captivity. Those that were captive by sin, he led them to as we got led one day, when we trusted Christ, we were captive to the devil. We were captive to the sin nature that we had in us. And we can see people say, well, I'm a good person, but you still have to deal with your sin nature. But he led us by his hand, by his scarred hand, by the Holy Spirit. We are now free from that. How important it was at the resurrection that he did all what he did. And from what he did there at his resurrection, it set our future in place. It was a real resignation, not just a spiritual one. We've got people that says, well, he weren't really dead. He come out. I mean, there's all kinds of excuses. People do not want to give God they don't want to accept his word as truth. And they'll come up with all kinds of crazy excuses saying, well, you know, I really believe that he really wasn't dead. And they went and got him out of there and took him away. And you can hear all these kind of crazy stories. And when you hear those things from somebody, you need to take them back across this book. And then that's when you're going to have to prove that this book is the truth. And I guess there's a lesson out there. I guess we probably need to do sometime that helps us explain that this is the truth, why this is the truth, and who wrote it and how it got wrote. We've heard that from Pastor Lasley. Let's see, it's been so many years ago, teaching on versions. That's another whole thing that we haven't heard in a long time, is version. You know, and a lot of people never even talk about that. And that's part of the problem why people don't believe this is the truth. Because of the version issue. There's some people really hung up on version. Most people don't even know that's there. But if we run across somebody that says, well, I've got this book, and it's probably maybe not a right version, we have to make sure that we got the right version. And that's another whole rabbit trail, as Pastor Lazar used to say, that we could run and get people to understanding that this is the truth, go through the version issues. And that's just another whole month of teaching. So it was a real resurrection, not just a spiritual one. It was a bodily resurrection. His body came out of that tomb, and being some of what the Bible calls first fruits, we are going to do the same thing someday. We're all once appointed to die, or we're going to be resurrected when he comes and blows the trumpet, and we're all out of here. And like I say, I'm ready for that, and I think most of us are ready for that. And I don't know if it'll happen. I think it will happen Well, that's my opinion, I guess. I think when the last person is saved, I think there's some verses that says this. When God gets finished putting his church together, that's when Christ is going to step in the air and call us all home. Now, what day will that be on? I always thought, well, it's going to happen on Sunday sometime. I may not be here, but the Sunday starts on the other side of the earth. Maybe that last person may be saved today. We don't know. But anyway, that's a good thought. I mean, all that was set in motion at this time. The resurrection, his resurrection, our resurrection. It's all likeness in how it all worked and what he did in paradise, where it was at that time in the lower parts of the earth. And those folks were resurrected, their souls, and now it's coming for our body to be like him, and all that stuff that we know is going to happen. And I've always said I'd like it to happen when we're all here one morning and we go out of here and knock holes in the roof so they can't use this building for a dance hall or something. But anyway, God's good, folks. He was, and we can say God's good all the time. He was good at day one, whenever that is, that's eternity past. And he was good at this day when this happened. He had you and I on his mind and heart that he was letting his son suffer through all this, that we'd be saved, that he could have us in heaven. So we see that, to finish up looking at this resurrection time here, it was a real resurrection. It was a bodily resurrection. And it all that made a difference because of the world at that time. We can go back to, well, I don't need to rabbit trail off on that. We're running out of time. There was stuff going on in the world at that time that people believed certain things about people swooning and not being dead till after 3 or 4 days, and we can talk about that later. So then his appearances. We can look at his appearances just as truth. In Acts chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about his appearances there. It proves his resurrection. These appearances did. He appeared to his friends. He appeared to his disciples. He appeared to those folks on that road that day. And many, many instances of his appearance during that time. And then we look at his ascension. In Luke 24, talks a lot about that, down in verse 46 through 50, 51. It means that his earthly work was finished. It means that his earthly work was beginning. It means the Holy Spirit was coming, meaning that this heavenly work was continuing. He's gone to prepare a place for us. We got the Holy Spirit at that time. We see the disciples, and he told them to go back to Jerusalem for a couple of weeks and wait on him, and he appeared there in front of them, and they looked at him, and touched his hands, and touched his side, and believed that it was really him that had been resurrected, and he gave them the power that day through the Holy Spirit. They went out and preached to crowds of course, many, many different language people groups were coming through that part of the world doing commerce and trade. And the disciples went out and spoke. I believe they just spoke their language. And everybody heard it in a different language. Wasn't some gobbledygook tongue that nobody understands. Something that we've all seen or heard people say, and they're speaking in tongues and all this. No, it was a real deal then. From the Holy Spirit's power on them disciples that day could speak and everybody in the crowd understanding what they were saying. And we've seen thousands of people get saved that day from that. It's the truth. It's real. Again, it's in God's word. It's the truth. Why would it be otherwise? Oh, no, that's, some people say, oh, that's just some story. Or that is just, somebody just put that in there as an illustration. No, it's the truth. It happened. And his work is continuing there in heaven. His continuing ministry there in heaven. In Hebrews it says, he ever liveth making intercession. Boy, I'm glad that he makes intercession for me. Even though I'm saved, I've trusted Christ, I have the Holy Spirit, I can read his word, I can go to the right church, I need intercession. Because I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Every day it's a struggle, folks. You know it, the truth. And some people say, well, I'm not a sinner. They don't understand what the word sin means. I'm just telling you, we keep saying these simple truths that we all know today, that we've all been taught, but these simple truths the world don't know. We need to teach our loved ones. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, our friend groups. People need to know the truth of this. We need to have an understanding, a working understanding of God's word to be able to lead people to Christ and let them understand that this is the truth, inspired, God-breathed word of God. His continuing ministry there in heaven. He is much alive as now than as he ever was. He's sitting there at the right hand of God. You can close your eyes and think about it and pray about it and know that he is there. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and give you understanding about this. Give you peace. What peace? He's preparing a place for us. No, this is not some little old cabin down by the creekside. No, it's not some little shack. I've heard people say, just give me a little shack over on the side of the river. Well, I like little shacks down by the river. I can get out and go fishing. But he's preparing a mansion for us. He wants us to have the best. He died on the cross. He went to heaven. He's preparing that place for us today. He wants us to have a mansion. Believe that you're going to have a mansion. We're all that saved, all that trust in what Christ did on the cross, all of us is going to have a mansion. Of course, you can go to Revelations and back in Daniel and see some talk about the dimensions of the New Jerusalem and the New Heaven and all that and how big it is and all that kind of thing and what it's made of and what it looks like. It goes beyond our comprehension thinking. You start reading all that, it's hard to even think about how wonderful it is. And really the best thing about the whole thing is we'll be able to see him. We'll be able to worship him. We'll be able to sing the songs and praise his name for what he did on the cross. So, you know, there's a lot we can think about when we start talking about what he did that day, that resurrection day. Christ did so much for us, and now he's doing so much for us in heaven. In his continuing work here on earth, he gave us the Holy Spirit. He wants us to get the church up, get not a building, but the church, his people, saved people. He's seen many things, how he continues. The book of Acts is a good one to go look at on Christ's continuing work. He's seen in the life of every believer. As we see people that are saved and see the Holy Spirit guiding and directing, we see miracles. There is miracles happen every day. In missionaries' life, in our lives, What unseen things does he protect us from? Think about that. I mean, there is unseen things that could happen to us every day as we drive down the highways, as our grandbabies are learning how to drive. I pray a hedge around them every day, and I believe that God puts a hedge around them. I believe that because we ask. If we don't ask, we won't receive. So he's in heaven doing all that. He's answering prayers. He's talking to God about, well, he messed up, but I died for him. So you really can't see that sin. It's forgotten. That's another thing that's hard to understand. He's God. He can do anything he wants to do. He can forget my sin. He can forget your sin. Problem is, sometimes we want to go dig them up and let the devil use them against us. Just as much as Christ is alive, living in heaven, the devil is living in he's the prince and the power of this air, of this heaven, this atmosphere is where he operates in. And someday that's coming to an end. Someday that's coming to an end. And the next step in the great revelation of God is for him to come back, step out of heaven into the atmosphere and call us all up, and we'll be there forevermore. And then the 7-year tribulation starts, and then the 1,000-year reign, and then forever eternity with him. What we have so much to look for that he's getting ready, that he's doing right now. God's good, folks, all the time. We can say that over and over for thousands of years. Let us live every day looking for and loving the appearing of the Savior. Every day, the Bible wants us to do that. Even more today, even more than I can say 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when I got saved, 13, and probably more than that. But, you know, you just, as you're young, you don't think about heaven as much as we think about it here in this, at this level of life that we're in. Every level of life, we consider those things of God in a different way. It's still the truth no matter what level you're on. It's still the truth in how we think about it. It's still the truth in how we need to impart it to others. Lord, help us to give us great understanding of what God is doing now in heaven and what he did that day at resurrection. We're going to talk more about these details. I could say next week we'll start that. If you have the book, it'll be chapter 26 on heaven and hell. We're going to kind of dive into that next week. Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for what you did on the cross. All the work that you're doing right now, Lord. You're sitting there in heaven. You're our advocate. You're our lawyer. You're taking care of business for us. You're creating this wonderful place for us to come and be with you forever and ever. Lord, we just look forward to all those promises that you have. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.